you had asked people back when the internet was very, very young, would you need a keyboard for your television? They'd look at you really strange.
Yeah.
Either that, or they would go to some place on the internet to find out, does that make any sense? And a lot of the people early on went to this website called about.com.
Yes.
And it was just chock full of all sorts of different things. You could almost get anything, any information about anything from about.com. And today we have Tim Fisher from about.com. He's an author and expert on computing, and he's with us to talk to us a little bit about what does it seem like the internet, where we're going, and the kinds of problems that have changed over the many years. So Tim, welcome to the Internet
Hi.
Advisor.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, how long have you been with about.com?
I will have my 10-year anniversary this September, so quite a while for an internet type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, so what is your segment? Because about.com is really a bunch of different abouts, isn't it?
Yes. It's a great place. It's like a, you know, they go out and find experts in particular topics, and, you know, we take all of our passion and put that into something very specific on the internet. And for me, it's computer support, PC support, technically. And that's what I do. I explain to normal people how to fix the kinds of problems that they typically might go and pay someone to fix for them.
So, Ed, you've been doing this for years, and our show's been on talking about how to fix computers and how to have a better experience online for now 18 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, 18 years. They've been doing the show. I've been doing this since 2003 when XP came around. Gary asked me to come into the show because one of the other co-hosts couldn't make it, and then I've been coming ever since. And
very cool.
And it is. And so we answer listener questions. We use Bing searches or Google searches, and a lot of times they inevitably take us to about.com, who has developed quite an archive of articles at a reliable articles that are well written by reputable people and knowledgeable people. So, Tim, I really want to thank you for joining us today. And what caught our eye, Foster unfortunately didn't make it today, but what caught our eye was an article you recently wrote about the 10, what was it, the 10 or was it the 15? I think I lost count after 12. The 12 worst things you know. Gary, you have the article in front of you.
I guess it was stop screwing up your computer. The 10,
yeah, it was
10
13
screw-ups.
Ways you're screwing up your computer.
So yeah. We almost got it. It was 10, 12, 15, now it's 13. Okay, thanks. So tell us, what are some of the ways we all do this? And the way we have figured out how to help other people is we've messed up ourselves so many times and figured out
sure.
how to fix it. So tell us a little bit about the ways you can mess up your computer.
So this was a fun article to write because it took kind of a, you know, the opposite approach. Instead of just trying to help, you know, hey, here's what a lot of very well-meaning and smart people do, occasionally including myself. So a few of the highlights here that I see a lot with my clients and my readers, you're not backing up. Super important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think it's something, even today, people just overlook and don't think about. I cannot stress backing up enough.
So where do you back up?
In the old days, we backed up to tape or CD or DVD, and then later it was flash drives or external drives. But I'm a very, very, very big fan of online backup or cloud backup.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, at home, I use and pay for Backblaze, which is
a
pretty big service. It's very inexpensive. I think you end up paying just several dollars a month, and they let you back up as much as you want, and it's very, very safe on servers, multiple servers somewhere else away from fires and floods and our forgetfulness.
So now do you save to your computer and then back up to Backblaze?
It's automatic. So every time anything happens on my computer, whether I update a document or I download a piece of music, in the next several minutes, Backblaze grabs that file.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and listen to the rest of your answer, okay? This is Tim Fisher from About.com. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Show. Back in a moment.
Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. This is one of your hosts, Ed Rudell, and I'm here with
Gary Baker, and we are the only two Internet Advisors today because Foster and Cal are off, but we have another guy who's been doing this for 10 years on About.com, Tim Fisher. Welcome back, Tim.
Thank you.
So we were talking about backup. You were saying you use what service again?
Backblaze.
Backblaze, yep.
And, is it B-A-T? Is it B-A-T? Yep.
It's B-A-C-K, as in backup, and then, yep, B-A-C-K-B-L-A-Z-E. You could Google them. You can Google them with my name. I've written lots about them. CrashPlant is also great. Carbonite is also great. Mm-hmm. Some of those you probably heard of. But the gist is, backs up all the time. You never have to think about it. You don't have to stick a CD in once a week. It happens in the background. It's very inexpensive, and it's very, very safe.
So, you know, my kids often talk about some of the stuff that I do, I think backing up is so 5 minutes ago that why back up anymore? I don't actually save anything to my computer. I always put it in the cloud, and then I let OneDrive back it up for me.
Your OneDrive, because you're a Microsoft Surface user, so it's very easy when Microsoft released their own hardware to do this, and now that, I mean, it's also very easy with Windows 8 and Windows 10, Microsoft is basically nagging you continuously, set up your OneDrive, save your documents to the OneDrive, and it really doesn't give up until you do.
And I have not found the bottom of what I could save there. Because,
that's excellent.
I don't know, is it a terabyte that I get free? I haven't gotten to the end of it anyway. So what do you think about...
Something close to that.
Yeah, so Tim, what do you think about that? Is that a viable option? Because then I just let Microsoft back it up for me.
It is. OneDrive, especially the way Microsoft is pushing it and integrating it so tightly with their new operating systems like Windows 10, the normal, and I'm doing air quotes with my fingers, user can probably get away with that just fine. Some of these services like Backblaze and CrashPlant, these cloud backup services, were a necessary and part of a very limited number of options maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And if you were anybody, that was the smart way to go. But now if you're an average computer user who just saves a few documents or like you said, many millions of documents potentially with your free terabyte, you're probably okay. For power users, for people who download movies, and for people who use their computer for more professional reasons, maybe you have thousands of Photoshop files and something like that where you're using a lot of space, you still need kind of these power user dedicated backup services. But frankly, for probably people like you and I and a lot of your listeners, using a Windows operating system and something like OneDrive is probably a great choice.
Okay. And I'm looking at some of your other stuff here, and you said you're not patching software. Shame on you. And and I guess the same thing is true with your antivirus software. These things need to be continuously updated, and they, for the most part, they do always. So I just wanted to knock those out, because they're always updating themselves. That's 2 and 3. But and the other one is you're still running Windows XP. And you would be surprised at the number of people that there we get, are. The listeners we get calling and that are still running it. And the number of, basically, what we discovered a couple of years ago is the number in the U.S., a majority of our ATMs use that as a base OS.
They do?
Yes.
That's scary. Yeah.
So what do you tell people when you find out they're still running XP? Are you telling them they really just have to upgrade, or is it okay still?
Here's what I tell people. So I usually have an initial, I want to make sure that I understand, why they're surrounding Windows 6. And a lot of times it's financial and, hey, my computer works great. I can still get on the internet. The things I want to do run just fine. I see no reason to update. Aside from, what they usually understand is, it's riskier, something, maybe Microsoft isn't patching it like they used to and stuff.
Well, they're also flirting with disaster because of the, they're dealing with, in a lot of cases, antiquated hardware that could fail at any time.
So, that's very true.
Yep.
So. So assuming, let's assume your computer works and it does what you want, and you're just, you know, you love Windows XP and change is just horrifying for you. It really boils down. If you're safe, if you visit the same kind of websites all the time, if you don't do anything weird online, you know, and you have a router at home and you just sort of do the same thing you've always done, honestly, you're probably okay.
You know, it really sounds like you're trying to justify a very large portion of the market that are running it. You know, yes, they could continue it until they face disaster where the thing dies, and they basically have to go out and get a new one. And like you said, it's not being patched, and they do limited things on the internet. But for goodness sake, computers are so cheap. You know, if you could scrap that thing, you'll probably get enough money to buy a laptop. You know, so...
Yeah, I mean, I'm being very nice.
You are.
If I'm being completely honest, yes, my goodness, you can go buy a brand new Windows 10 laptop for...
$200, $225.
Yeah, that's not a lot of money.
And the other one you had here is you still haven't upgraded Windows 8 to Windows 10. Now, what has been your experience, and some of your the people that write you? What has been their experience with Windows 10?
Frankly, most of the comments I get are subjective about the changes. I've had very little personal or professional or reader experiences that were negative on the technical front. For the most part, it goes smoothly. And for the most part, especially from Windows 8 to Windows 10, there's not, most of the changes that were made there were very welcome, especially for people that were familiar with previous versions of Windows. But for, you know, some of the Windows Vista and Windows 7 people, it's been a difficult decision. But for the most part, technically straightforward.
And excellent.
Okay.
I really enjoyed your article, and you really hit some stuff that really needed to be talked about, and it was nice and concise, and it was fun to read. So we'll have a link to this on our Internet Advisor website by the end of the day. But this is a podcast. Well, unfortunately, we're not broadcasting live, but you can visit us at internetadvisor.net. We'll have a link to Tim Fisher's article from about.com on this. What was the other one? You've left too much junk installed, or you've left junk installed, and it's probably running on your computer. Are you referring to Nagware and bloatware that's usually installed on computers?
Yeah, that's for the most part what I was talking about. Yeah, which luckily is becoming less of a problem, and especially in the last 12 months has sort of come to the forefront in some of the tech circles about what an issue it is. But yeah, I find a lot of people just have a lot of the stuff on that they didn't know was there. They've never used, they don't plan on using. And unfortunately, some of it runs in the background all the time and makes your computer slow.
Excellent.
You know, when we were talking XP, a lot of the argument that I've heard lately is centered around, well, if they don't patch, you click on a link, somebody phishes you, which means they send you an email and they get you to click on that link in that email, and it downloads a virus or downloads some bad payload onto your computer, and then your computer turns into a zombie and spews stuff at all the rest of us. Do you see that happening?
I know it happens. It's not a very easy thing to see happening, but I think this is potentially a very large problem that we could see happen, especially as the XP upgraders and replacers is sort of flatlining. The last several months worth of data that I've seen is it looks like the people who have Windows XP are sticking with Windows XP just in kind of a stubborn way. Mm-hmm. And so I could see this happening, definitely becoming a problem in the near future. But this isn't something that I run into people talking to me about on a regular basis.
No, that's true. And Microsoft's favorite operating system is still Windows 7 right now. I mean, the switch was gradual, but it eventually got there. And another part was basically you're putting off fixing problems on your computer that you could probably fix yourself. And what you're talking about is people feel intimidated here about their computers, where there's a wealth of information out there that might be able to walk them and step them through how they can make their own fixes.
Yes. Yeah. I can't stress that enough. there's so many, you wouldn't believe the people that I talk to over email and on Facebook and in forums and stuff like that, that, you know, just day after day after day, this is the first time they've ever even considered doing something themselves. And they usually chose to do that out of some sort of desperation about time or money. But I'm always trying to push this fact, like, every time something happens, no matter how confusing it might appear or
Tim, we're running out of time in this segment again, but would you hold on? We're talking Tim Fisher from About.com. We'll be back after this message. Okay, we're back. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and we have Tim Fisher from About.com on the line with us. And we've been talking for the last half hour or so a little bit about what he sees in the market. Tim, you've been doing About.com and about tech support for computers for 10 years. How have the questions changed over the last 10 years?
I would say they've gotten more nuanced and probably more complicated, but that makes sense because technology is a little more nuanced and more complicated. You know, more software to fail, more hardware to fail, or websites to, you know, have an issue with. But I would say that's probably the biggest thing.
You know, we get questions, and we feel just about anything. So we get questions about smartphones, about smart TVs, about Nest or other types of, you know, connected, the Internet of Things, connected households. Do you deal with that, or are there other places on About.com that really have that subject matter nailed up?
So there's a lot of other tech topics, and in some of those other areas, you know, where they maybe would write about, you know, connected devices or smart TVs, they discuss some troubleshooting stuff, but you know, that's all stuff that sometimes I deal with off About.com with people, but certainly it's some opportunities for me on About.com too. As you guys know, you know, running a show, there are endless things to talk about when it comes to fixing problems with technology. So
yep,
still a lot of opportunity for that. Yeah.
You know, and it seems like I know personally myself, a lot of topics that we talk about, or if I was to write something on the website, it basically stems from common everyday questions that people will ask me. And it's like a slight turn that I've really never thought of thinking of it that way. Like, I can't think of any examples right now, but I'm sure the same thing happens to you where someone asks you a question, and that would be a great topic to write about. Let me do that. I mean, some of them are pretty commonsensical, like, it's back to school in the summer, and what should you be shopping for your computer? You know, back to school shopping. And but a lot of times the questions and the articles we write are based on everyday questions that people ask us.
Yes. The ideas are endless. I get a lot of emails. I get several hundred emails a week, and most of those are full of suggestions for articles. And I'm sure you guys run into this too, but, you know, as people in the know and in the industry, and there's so many things that we take for granted, and every so often someone will ask you something, and I'll just slap myself in the forehead and say, you know, oh my gosh, how foolish of me not to talk about this years ago, because it's so basic and so straightforward of a problem that I take for granted because I know.
But, absolutely.
The ideas are endless, and I have a to-do list that's, you know, will be longer than my lifespan.
You know, you had a recent article, and by the way, I could mention that you have a daily Help Me
I do.
That is on Facebook. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I used to operate a forum on my site, and for various reasons I don't anymore. But so what I do now, especially since, you know, Facebook and other social networks are so popular, every single day I post on Facebook and I say, you know, welcome to today's Help Me. And it's just what it sounds like. You leave a comment on that post, and either myself or one of two other very smart guys who help me out answer whatever question that you have about anything. It's usually like a Windows-based computer, but it can be a Mac question, or it can be a phone question, or a smart TV question, or anything like that. And we're very responsive. I mean, for the most part, we take care of everybody's questions on the same day.
You know, so one of these most recent ones was five simple fixes for most computer problems. Are there simple fixes?
Oh, there's lots of simple fixes. And the catch there is most computer problems are simple computer problems, and so they have simple fixes. You know, it's not always the case, but oftentimes, you know, most internet issues can be solved by a clearing of the cache or clearing of your cookies, you know, and things like that. And it's, I know it's the oldest joke in the book, but restarting your computer is a really, really, really helpful thing to do that, unfortunately, most people still don't appreciate.
You know, it's funny because my wife will come in and go, "Hey Gary, my computer's wait a minute, never mind, I'll go boot first." It's just, you know, because she knows the first thing I'm going to tell her to go do.
Yes. Yep. I used to run a business where I would go to people's houses and fix their computers. I did that for many years, and I would get teased sometimes about my magic fingers and my magic touch, and I would be completely open and say, "All I did was restart your computer, and here's why that probably fixed the problem."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It, so tell us what's one of the other recent articles, or even not recent, but what's one of the other articles that you really liked writing about?
I like writing about software and especially free programs to help people do things and stuff like that. But one of the ones that I enjoyed writing the most, and I think it's because it has helped so many people, and I knew it was needed so badly, was what to do when your Windows update process, which seems to happen about every couple of days now, when it gets stuck or doesn't install or something bad happens, which unfortunately is pretty common. And so that one was really enjoyable because there's so many different reasons why that might happen, and I was able to, you know, sort of work through it and look through all of my previous communications with people and do lots of research, and I came up with a really tight, easy to follow, easy to understand process that you can go through and solve that. And that's been really, really successful.
Wow, that sounds good. Hey, A lot of press has been written lately about ransomware.
Yes.
So first of all, explain that for our audience and what to do about it. Tell us what you recommend.
So solving a ransomware problem is, you know, assuming that it happens to you is next to impossible because of how most of the ransomware malware works. So in a nutshell, you get infected with a special kind of virus that encrypts the data on your hard drive. And the great thing about encryption, which is also the horrible thing about encryption in this case, is that it's nearly impossible to crack. You need a password to decrypt the data. So what happens is the malware will encrypt all the files on your hard drive. You get some sort of communication from the person that or the organization that did that, and they say, "Hey, fork over $100, $1,000, $10,000, whatever it may be, and we will type in our password that encrypted your data and decrypt all of your data and make it available to you again." I know there was a story recently, I don't remember the name of the company, but they paid up, and it was very public and kind of embarrassing, but yeah, that was the most reasonable solution.
Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital, I think, out in L.A., maybe is what you're thinking of.
Yes, I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Yep.
They
were started out, I think it was $3.5 million worth. It was 9,000 bitcoins is what the ransom, you know, was for. And then I think they got it down to 40, which was still a lot of money. It's 17,000. But
well, there's also, you know, a Chicago area police department also had their files last year.
And a Kentucky police department as well.
Luckily, they only had to pay $200. It was a year and a half ago, and it was early in the ransomware. And they just basically, they discovered there was nothing they can do. They ponied up the $250. Yeah. They took back all those empty donut boxes and for a dime each or whatever, and they got the cash and were able to pay the $250 you know, ransom and got their files decrypted.
It's so funny, though, because I had a friend that was hit by ransomware, and he said, "I'm not paying." Yeah. He had his data backed up, and he just reinstalled the operating system and put on a few of the programs that he really liked and put this, you know, accessed his data again, and, you know, no problem, right?
Now, on ransomware, what is the common delivery method? Isn't it through like a phishing scam or an inadvertent click that someone does when they receive an email? Isn't that usually how it's passed? Or is it?
I honestly don't. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure.
Neither am I.
That's definitely one way to do it. The other, you know, there's also just very traditional sort of malware, you know, delivery methods that could be part of. But all of those, the only reason they work is because there is some sort of unpatched exploit on your browser or your operating system. There's oftentimes that little window where it becomes public that there is an issue and then people take advantage of it. But if you keep your computer updated, which is proactive, if you back up, which is proactive, and you are just very careful of what you do, which is proactive, that's going to prevent the problem. And you know, fortunately, solving it is often means right out of your checkbook.
You know, we're talking to Tim Fisher from About.com. He has the PC support section there on About.com. Tim, we're going to ask you to stay one more segment. Would you do that for us?
Sounds good. Yep.
All right. Hang on. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be back with Tim Fisher from About.com in a moment. Hello. This is Gary Baker. I'm with Ed Riddell and Tim Fisher from About.com. And Tim, we've been hanging out here talking all about PC support with you, and you run the PC support section of About.com. We've had some really good questions answered. It's too bad that we don't have our listeners, because you could answer some of our, you know, do our jobs for us. And,
yeah, that'd be fun.
So, you know, I mean, there's just a ton of questions I would like to ask you. We've, over the years, had different utilities that we've come across that seem to work really well. And early on, we found CCleaner. And yes. Promoted that and recommended it. It was free. Do you still recommend Free Cleaner or CCleaner rather? Okay,
I do. Yes, it's probably the like just overall sort of system utility thing that I spend the most time recommending. Yes.
Okay.
You know, one of the things I found out about it, and I didn't realize this the first couple years I was using it, that it actually, and because I've tried many different registry supposed cleaners. CCleaner seems to have a less aggressive version of a registry cleaner, and we're talking about for Windows 7 that and Windows XP, and it's actually, I'm not afraid of using the registry cleaner on it because it's not very aggressive at all.
Right.
So.
Yes, I totally agree, and that's one of the big reasons why I like it. I back in the day, like the Windows 95, 98 days, there was registry cleaners that would cripple a computer when you ran it because it was just so aggressive. But CCleaner has never been like that. I run it from Windows XP to Windows 10, and it's just great. I get emails about it a lot. There's confusions about it. I've written lots and lots and lots of stuff about registry cleaning and how you don't really need to do it and stuff like that. But CCleaner is a real, like, round, well-balanced system cleaner. They just do a great job.
Yeah, I think so too. Yep.
Now, have you found an alternate or something that would, an alternate to Malwarebytes? That is one of our favorite utilities that we discovered years. How long has that been out? At least 6 years, 8 years, 6 or 7 years at least.
At least, I think.
And
it's been a long time.
And we've been using it for a long time. Have you found another great gem like that?
In the same category,
yes.
Definitely no. Malwarebytes for sure is who I send people to. I totally agree with you guys. I just love it, and it's so good. It's one of those programs where I don't even look for alternatives.
Yeah.
It's just, it does such a great job.
You know, that's a good point. If there was one, and I could probably recommend it up to last year, but I haven't tested it since last year, would have been Super Anti-Spyware. And because I've used that, and that seemed to do a pretty good job, but I haven't looked at it recently.
You know, a lot of times, Tim, we've suggested if Malwarebytes doesn't do the job for you, and it's very rare when that happens, we suggest maybe a cocktail with Malwarebytes and CombiFix. Have you ever done that?
I have not, no.
Yeah, so CombiFix was a utility that was made by Bleeping Computer, and it's the only place that you can actually download it from. Any place else, you got to be careful. But we've discovered that it doesn't work with Windows 8.1 or Windows 10. because they haven't updated it, unfortunately, because they're actually, because they evaluated one of those, utilities out there that were basically claiming to be an antivirus program and a scanner, and it was really just bloatware, and they were charging people for it. Because they gave a poor review of it, they're being sued.
Oh, no.
And so CombiFix really doesn't have the resources now, because it's made by a community of people on bleepingcomputer.com.
Bleeping Computer's great.
Yeah,
we think so.
So,
too.
Unfortunately, I only discovered that like last month. So, any other great utilities like that you recommend? You know, it doesn't even have to be in that genre.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I take this approach where I try not to to chase after programs you download that do stuff, because you just there's so many things, especially old fashioned computer users do, that they just don't really need to do. And one of those is like this. I get people that say, "Oh, I defrag once a day, and I run a right. registry cleaner three times a week, and I do a manual virus scan of every file on all three of my external hard drives like once a month." And so I've kind of taken this approach of okay, it's time to back off a little bit. For the most part, your computer works great all by itself. Be responsible, do things you need to do.
Go outside, break the lawn,
get a life.
Get a life, yeah.
maybe I'll say it a little bit nicer than that, but I know we talked about Pureform's, sequencer already, but as far as the defraggers go, which is important to do on some kind of a basis, Defraggler is another one of theirs, and it's totally free, like CCleaner, and it's just fabulous.
Good point. And I noticed in your article you had a little caveat in there, is you do not need to defrag if you have solid state drives. So, and I'm glad to see that you had that in there.
Which is more and more common.
Yes.
So. One of the most vulnerable parts of using the computer is always the person in the chair, right? So many times, people have said, well, it's just a picnic, and it's problem not in computer, problem in chair, not in computer. So, what I've noticed is that passwords continue to be a problem. Any ideas or any fixes for passwords? And I know we don't have a lot of time, but any thoughts about where we're going to go with how do we help?
Yeah, in 60 users, seconds, give us your password spiel.
My password spiel. I think very, very, very strong passwords are very important. I think a password manager is something every single person needs to use. And basically, it is a program that stores all of your other passwords behind one very strong password, and it's the only one you have to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going forward in the future, passwords are going to disappear and be replaced by things that are much easier to remember, like where your finger is, because your fingerprint will do it just fine. And your face, and lots of really fantastic technologies being developed. And so I believe truly passwords will go away. But for today, password manager.
Yeah. Well, that'd be great. Alkaline, the amount of alkaline you have in your skin. Okay, yeah, you're Ed Riedel. Okay, perfect. You can log in.
That's right. Tim, thank you very much for spending some time with us today. We really appreciate it. I know our audience will appreciate, all of your comments. You could go to asktimfisher.com or go to about.com, and he runs the PC support area there in about.com.
And you're on Facebook. Also. And when I went on Facebook, there must have been 30 Tim Fishers out there. Which one are you?
So I'm actually Tim the Tech.
Tim the Tech on Facebook.
Yeah.
And also, you can get all of those links by going to internetadvisor.net. That's our site. And we will put this podcast up. So if you liked what you heard, but you want to hear it again, where you were maybe driving and you want to, go in and access it again, that podcast will be there, and all the links to all of Tim's sites. And we encourage you to sign up for his daily Help Me articles on Facebook. So
thank you so much, Tim, for joining us, Terry.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
You take care.